We're going to be talking, going through this book about joy is the topic. Now, we've been through joy. I've preached on joy before, but this is a little bit different in what we're talking about. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians 4, 4. Philippians 4, 4. Unlike Sunday, not only do I give you the correct book, but I also tell you the verse and the chapter it's in. What a guy. Okay, 4:4 says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon." Why do you think, for instance, just starting this off, why would he say, "Remember, the Lord is coming soon"? If you're going to be happy and joyful about something, if that doesn't give you joy in your heart, you're dead. Spiritually, I'm talking about. There's a story in here. There's this lady, her name's Jessica, said that she's a teenage girl, and she seemed to have it all. Her parents loved her. She was on the dean's list at school. All the young men wanted to date her. She lived in the nicest dorm on the campus and drove a brand spanking new car. She seemed to have everything going for her, and she had everything she needed. Despite all that, she went into her pastor and said that she had considered committing suicide because she lacked joy. Any joy. Is joy important in our lives? You bet it is. Because without joy, you cannot live. You have to have joy in your life. The same deal is kind of like this story about Ben. Ben's story is just a little bit different. When he failed to show up for basketball game, they called him and he sounded extremely depressed. And they asked him, said, if you could meet for dinner. And he said, sure, I can meet with you. Shortly after sitting down at the table, he started to cry uncontrollably. And he made a statement which said that... He said, I really just want to end it all. He just wanted to give up his life. Now, these are young adults. These are upcoming people that are going to be soon be complete adults that are going to be making decisions for their families, making decisions for church, that have completely lost sight of one thing that you have to have, and that is joy in your life. They don't understand. They confuse certain things about joy, what joy is and where joy comes from. And I tell you, I've seen it for a long time. These kind of things happen in a church, and where young people, even older adults that have gone through some really bad times, really just troublesome things that happen in their families that cause them to lose hope, to cause them to lose their joy in their life. You know, people a lot of times do fall into depression or addiction due to psychological issues, but that's not what we're talking about here tonight. But the most common thing that has to do with it is usually spiritual. It's a spiritual joy that they actually need. Before I go into this, think about for a minute, what are some of the things that bring you joy? Friends bring you joy. Grandbabies bring you joy. Your lovely wife brings you joy. I want you to think about him. I want you to remember the things that have been said. Most of the things that a lot of people, when they talk about joy, they think about people. They think about material possessions that they might get. Oh, like you might say, oh man, I got a horse that brings me a lot of joy. Or my new horse trailer. Or my brand new double cab, four-wheel drive, dually truck brings me joy. Things, material things, hobbies can bring, you say, can bring you joy. I want to ask you now to think about what are the things that drain you, that take away your joy? Bullies. Boy, that'll do it every time, won't it? Think about it. What are some of the things that drain your joy or steal? Some things steal your joy. I mean, they just flat rip it from you. Work. All right, we're going to move on. Dad. Are there, now think back now, are there more things? I know a lot of you are thinking, you didn't talk out loud what you lose your joy from. A lot of you didn't. You didn't say nothing. You just kind of agreed with everybody. And you didn't really say anything of what really stole your joy or drained you of your joy. But you were thinking it. You didn't might have not want to said it out loud, but you have something that does that to you. Are there more things in your life today that bring you joy or steal your joy? Whoa. That is a big statement, y'all. You need to hear this. Are there more things in your life today that bring you joy than those that steal your joy? There's some verses that we need to look at. One of them is the 4:4, and it talks about how your joy. What I want to find out is when we define what joy is and what it's not, that's what we're going to find out tonight. You know, when I talk to you about these two people that had every reason in the world to be happy and experience the joy of life, all they could think about was ending their life. And that joy, somehow or another, escaped them. Why do you think that is? Maybe. Do you know that you can be a Christian and still have your joy stolen? You can still be so distraught that you have no happiness or joy in your life? There's more negatives than you think are positives. That's true. I'll tell you why. One of them is the reason is because they bought into the lie that the devil tries to put on us when it comes to joy, what true joy is, what causes joy, where joy comes from. This joy caused them to become defeated and in despair, and they contemplated taking their lives, all because they did not understand what joy was. And perhaps, more importantly, what joy is not. The first lie that the devil was having them believe is than many a people accept is that joy is an emotion. Think about it. Do you feel like joy is an emotion? Is this an emotion? When you smile and you laugh and you're happy? Is it? Think about it. Is it? The two people that were mentioned all believed that joy was an emotion and that came and went. See, emotions, they come in, they come out. Depending on the circumstance, they just come in and out. That isn't working. It's kind of like a roller coaster. Up, down, up, down, up, down. That's an emotion. When we view joy as an emotion, we're up, then we're down, then we're up again, and the next minute we're upside down, sideways, and everything, and we're confused. The fact is that life itself is unpredictable. It's full of successes, and it's full of failures. It's full of encouragement, and it's full of discouragements. It's full of happiness, and it's full of disappointments. If joy is an emotion, we have it 1 minute, and then what? We lose it the next. So joy is not an emotion, is it? It's not. Over time, we lose perspective. And despite the blessings that we receive in life, that God gives and other folks bestow on us, we become frustrated with that roller coaster ride because we don't understand where true joy comes from or what true joy is. And all we want to do is get off of that ride because it makes you sick. If you stay on a roller coaster forever, what does it do? You want off of that thing. And you want off now. That's where these two kids, they wanted off of that emotional ride to the point that they were ready to end their life just to get off of it. What if joy is not really an emotion, then what is it? That's a good answer. Biblical joy is a state of being that exists in the lives of those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me say that one more time. I'm talking about what the Bible talks about true joy in your life. Biblical joy is the state of being that exists in the lives of those who have a relationship with Christ. It's not contingent upon external forces in your life. It doesn't matter what's going on. It has nothing to do with money, power, fame, or status. None at all. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Everything. Joy is not an emotion. It's a state of being that exists for Christians in both the good times and the bad. Just think about it. If the devil could cause you to lose your joy by just something happening to you, what do you think Paul was going through when he talked about this joy that he presented to us in 4:4? He was in jail. He was in prison. And he's talking about joy. Because he has found out no matter what your circumstances are like, no matter what your financial state is, no matter whether you got a job, don't have a job, you have a house, you don't have a house, you have a truck, you don't have a truck, it makes no difference whatsoever to do with joy. Because joy 100% comes from God. Let's look at Colossians 1:24-27. Colossians 1:24-27. Somebody read that. when you get it. Right. Somebody look up 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Colossians 1, 24 through 27. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Whoever finds it first, just start reading. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. That's good enough. Okay, we already found out that the first lie is that it's not an emotion. Okay? The next lie is that the devil tries to portray is that we believe somehow or another, and this is the part that we are all guilty of, is we can manufacture our own joy. Think about it. You think, you know, if I went shopping and I was able to go buy just anything I wanted, unlimited, boy, would I have joy in my life. If I could just go down and buy any truck I wanted or any trailer, I would have joy. You got it, brother. They are not the same. Totally. You got it. This kind of joy that I'm talking about, that we long for and desire, is so pure, it's something that we ourselves cannot create. If you think about all the things that you wrote down that brought you joy in your life a while ago, at first glance, you may be tempted to think that you created them. But take a closer look at them. Did you really? Some of the things that might have been on your list, like your children or your spouse or your friends or your job, your pet or hobby you had, did God not create all these things? Think about it. Did He not create each and everything? You had your arm around your wife. You know, God is the one who produces and gives joy. Man, that is so deep, y'all. We really need to get this because this can change your life forever. How you look at joy in your life. How you can be satisfied in your life if you can just get this one concept down. God alone is the only one that can create joy. We can only experience it. When we start trying to create joy for ourselves by earning money or buying more things or going on fancy vacations or buying those trucks I was talking about or all the clothes that you can have, you know, or altering our lives with drugs or sex or medication, true joy will always be what? We'll always be reaching for it. It'll elude us. It's kind of like that little critter that you're trying to grab a hold of. You never can get that little sucker. He's always out of your reach. That kind of joy is always going to be where you can't get it. It will be out of your reach. You cannot create it. We have to understand that God alone creates the things that bring us joy. When we realize that God is the one that gives us joy, that should make us praise Him that much more and thank Him that much more and to ask Him for what? More. Man, can you ever have enough joy in your life? I mean, your rent's due. They're about to take your truck or, your water's fixing to be cut off. Can you be joyful at that time? Woo! You can! That's what I'm trying to tell you. Joy does not have anything to do with your circumstance. None whatsoever. Here's Paul sitting in jail, in prison, and he's joyful, and he's talking about how you can experience this joy from God. If anybody should be down in the dumps or upset, it would be someone that's in prison, wouldn't you think? For something they did not do, for serving the Lord. Well, he did do something. He did serve the Lord, and that's the reason he got put in there. But if you think about, he was justly, or was he unjustly imprisoned? Just for serving God. But yet all his joy came from the very Father who he is serving. We should praise God and thank Him for the things in our lives that bring us joy and then experience them for all they're worth. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. Somebody got it? Read it. Who gives joy? The Holy Spirit. None other but the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is what? He's God. Jesus is God. They're all three one, but they're all three different. They're all independent, but yet they are one, all controlled by God and are God. So if the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us our joy, who is the source? For sure. God. So, let me ask you the question. Is there anything we can do to get it? Say that one more time. You have to have a relationship with God. Now, how do you get a relationship with God? That's right. You accept Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation. Okay? It's a gift. It's not anything you can do to earn it or deserve it. It's just like joy. There's nothing you can do to get joy except experience it and ask for it. You ask for salvation, it's freely given. You don't have to pay for it. But to have a relationship with God, you have to be one of His. You have to be one of His children, and that's how you become one. Then He freely gives joy when you ask for it. There's nothing you can do to produce joy in your life. You can't buy enough. Let me ask you, do you think that you can buy enough? If you had all the money in the world, there's rich people that have more money than they know what to do with and are still very unhappy. They get more, they probably get more joy out of getting rid of the money than they do from the money itself. Money does not bring joy. Because of one thing. No joy in their life. How do you get joy? You have to go to the source. The source is God. So what do you think makes you happy? A lot of things make you happy. Those things make you happy. What we've got to make sure tonight that you separate is joy and happiness. We've got to get those two apart, y'all. We've got to separate them. We cannot put those two together like this and say, joy is happiness and happiness is joy. You cannot do it. You got happiness and you got joy. Happiness is something that comes and goes, right? Due to circumstances. It's just a temporary. It is an emotion. Joy is not. Do you think that you can have joy without happiness? Now you're starting to get it. You can have joy even when everything around you is caving in on your head. When your house just burnt to the ground and you're going, "Woo! What am I going to do now?" You can still be full of joy. You can be joyful. You can still, because your Father is the one that gives you joy. Now, you can be sad about your house. That's an emotion. But if you have insurance, you're going to get a new one anyway. Something to be happy about. Not joyful, happy. Does joy and peace go together? Oh yeah. There is contentment, there is peace, there's comfort in joy. You cannot find those things listed with happiness. Joy can bring you happiness. Thank you. That's exactly right. It is. That's exactly right. There is a guy named John Rittenbaugh. He's a pastor and founder of the Church of God. He says this, "A Christian's joy can be just as short-lived as anyone's in the world if we are seeking it for itself as the world does." Remember, as the world does. Biblical joy is a fruit. Remember, the fruits of the Spirit, what we talked about when you become a Christian. It's a byproduct, an additional blessing, not the end of itself. It flows into and grows within the person whose life and energies are not focused merely on being joyful. The lives of those in this world are so zealously chasing after it, just proves this point. If we are still chasing it, that must not yet. It means we hadn't got it yet, basically what he said. God's Word also says this. We can seek joy, but we cannot find true joy merely by seeking pleasurable things or in excitement. The best and longest sustained joys result from self-forgetful activity. Self-forgetful activity. What does that mean? Bam! Just like a gunshot, y'all. For doing for others, not for yourself. Everything Christ did, He was always serving others, wasn't He? Does that mean that He was joyful? You better believe Jesus was joyful. He was full of the Spirit, full of joy. If you don't have true joy in your life, if you want to regain your joy or keep it, you must commit to living a focused life. A focused life. What does focus mean? You have to focus your faith, because we cannot create joy. It's only truly obtained from a divine source, which is God. We must focus our faith. When we become active in our churches and we participate in other things that God is doing, true joy will always be nearby. If you're busy doing stuff for the Lord, joy is right there. It's right there for you. No matter what you're doing, what's going on in your life, it doesn't matter. When you are serving God, God has got ample amount of joy for you. Over and beyond what you could ever imagine. When you help lead someone to Christ or take part in some work that God is doing, the joy you experience is unexplainable. Have you ever really just done something that's just completely, probably out of your character, that completely took you out of your comfort zone, but you did it for the Lord? What did that feel like? I remember the first time that I shared the gospel with someone and I got rejected. I thought I was rejected because the person said no. And I felt this big letdown that I had somehow or another, I had let God down. I remember the first time that I shared the gospel with someone and they accepted Christ. That joy that filled my soul was the joy that God gave me. It was something I couldn't explain. It was something that it had nothing really to do with me, but the joy of seeing that person come to Christ changed me forever. It kind of transformed me. It caused me to focus my attention on others, not to focus on myself and always be seeking stuff for me, but to try to do things for others. When someone needs help, when someone needs an extra hand just to hold the end of a board, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we should be doing, be about doing. Huh? Yeah, put up a pool. Lori needs help putting her swimming pool up, y'all. That was just a cry for help. She is looking for true joy in her life. She's going to put everybody on a guilt trip. So, y'all, you need to go help her put her pool up. So why? You can experience joy beyond measure is what she's saying. She is, man, what a blessing to have someone to give us something to receive joy from God for. That's it. We need to transform our thinking from temporal to eternal. And you will keep your joy all the days of your life. in the book of Philemon, it says, we once again find the Apostle Paul in prison. However, he continues to speak about joy and guide others to find and keep their joy as well. When we focus on others and we don't focus on ourselves, what does that do? You are doing something totally unselfish. What was that word? Self-forgetful activity. You ask what that is? It's unselfish, an unselfish activity. It's something you do for someone else. You don't even have to know them to receive the joy. It could be someone stuck on the side of the road that just needs a hand. It may just be someone that just needs a hand up. You can name what that is. I don't know. You can just be a friend. Anytime you put yourself, quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about other people, you're in real danger of receiving a bunch of joy. Real danger. If you start doing that, because that is an unselfish act that God says, woo, now that's what I like to see. That's what I want. Serving others. That's what God is all about. Let's think about this for a second. You must focus on others. You will lose your joy if you focus on yourself and try to create your own joy. Uh-oh. Do I need to say that again? You will lose your joy if you focus on yourself and try to create your own joy. If you want to keep your joy, selfishly deny yourself and focus on others. Man, that is so easy to say. It is hard to do. Hard. Why? Why is it hard to do? I want to say that loud, and I got to shut up. I got to calm down. We are a selfish people. I really want what I want when I want it. I know y'all are not like that. I want what I want when I want it. When you're a little kid, you see a little baby. What does that baby do? He cries and he stomps his feet and he hits his fist on the floor and he screams and hollers till what? Till he gets what he wants. And then what happens? He's happy. For what? For a minute. That's exactly right. For that moment, he is happy. But that child is on a what kind of ride? That's exactly it. When we examine the lives of Peter, Paul, Timothy, others in the Bible who overcame all these incredible odds and circumstances, and they maintain their joy, we see the common thread of one thing: sacrifice and selfishness. They focused on others and ensured that they maintained healthy relationships with people, not possessions. If you want to keep your joy, make eternal investments in other people. Man, that's a mouthful. If you want to keep your joy, what do? We invest in other people. If I can say one thing about Common Ground Cowboy Church, this is a church that has joy. It has to, because the folks I've experienced here are the kind of people that if they see you in need, they just, it's kind of like they fight over each other that can, kind of like dogs trying to get the same bone. They just kind of running over each other trying to get to where that they can help you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you've never really been in need and let it be known. You're kind of keeping to yourself like a hermit and you're focusing on yourself. Because you got to be real careful around certain folks in this church if you have a need. You have to be careful what you say. Because they're going to jump over themselves to help you. Because why? It brings joy. Woo! Man, that's what it does for them. They know the joy of giving. They know the joy of helping others. They experience that joy, and what do they want? More joy. They want more. They want to get it all the time. Once you experience true joy, it's kind of like chocolate. You just, I mean, once you, you know, do you remember the first time you ever take, you know, as a kid, you go, oh man, that is awesome. Who thought of this? Your taste buds is just going, yee-haw, you know? I mean, and you just can't stop. I mean, you just start drooling, trying to get it in there, and it's melting. Anyway. Focusing on others. That's what brings joy. When you do this, your investment will be returned unmeasurably in the currency of joy. That does not bring you any joy whatsoever. Now, Mark is going to be so full of joy that he might spill some over, but it's not going to affect you much. But it's going to affect you, but not in a joyful way. That has nothing. Yeah, that does not bring you any joy. No. Look in Philemon. Somebody look up Philemon and look up verse 7. Philemon. Philemon. It's in the New Testament. Okay. Verse 7. There's only one. That's why I know. Verse 7. I tricked you, didn't I? I didn't say what chapter. Okay, what did he say gave him great joy? Your love brought him great joy. He said, this is Paul. Paul said, what does Paul say has given him this joy? It was love. What was Paul proud of? It says, because his kindness had often refreshed the hearts of God's people. What is kindness? When someone shows kindness to you, what is that? Don't laugh. Think about it. What is kindness? When you show kindness to someone. Huh? It's a gift of love. When you show kindness, are you thinking about yourself? Uh-oh. If you're not thinking about yourself, you're doing what? You are getting joy. When you show kindness to others, that means that you are doing something for them. You are trying to help them. You're trying to be kind to them. You are setting yourself up for that old trap of joy. You're going to step in it, y'all. It's going to fill you up. When you help others, when you show kindness, this is what's going to happen to you. If you want to keep your joy, you must always focus on Jesus Christ. When you live your life in a right relationship with Christ, joy will never be far away. Let me ask you this. If you have a sin that you're holding in your body, no one knows about it, just you. You're holding back. It's unconfessed. Do you think you're going to have joy? Because why? You have broken your relationship. You have walked away. You have separated yourself from God. He cannot help you when you sin. He can't look upon sin. Until you confess that sin and restore that relationship, you are out of fellowship with Him, and you will not enjoy any joy. You will not get any joy in your life. I tell you what the Holy Spirit will do. He will convict you of your sin. He is also the one that convicts you when you've done something wrong. He's the one that it's that little voice that goes, and you hear it, and you know you're going, "Don't do that. It's not right. You're going to have to pay a penalty for this." It's kind of like being on the highway and the speed limit is 75, and you go, 75, no one's looking, no one's around. Whew. Let's go 100. Let's go 105. There ain't nobody on the road. Does that make it right? You're still doing what? You're breaking the law. If you feel that grace period, then you can have it. I'll give it to you. If you feel confident that you have that much grace and that the police officer that is clocking you has that much grace, then you go right ahead. It's by His grace that you do or do not get a ticket. Not. That's it. A modern day disciple, that is us. Someone who is living in this time period. Living your life under the Lordship of Christ should be your highest priority. That should be what we should be. I preach about it all the time, that you should be different. You should not be the same as you were yesterday or the day before or last week or last month. You should be closer, more like Christ every day that you live. If you're not, what is happening? You're not growing. You're sitting still. You're stagnant. What happens if you sit still too long? Huh? You might get run over. Someone who is what? That's trying to do something for the Lord. The point seems to be, and it seems to be obvious, that many believers make this mistake each and every day as they live their lives in the context of occasional happiness with the absence of true joy. That is so sad, y'all. To have 100% pure joy available to you and to settle for happiness, which is temporary. I tell you, you can be, if you live your life for happiness, you're going to get dizzy on that roller coaster ride. Because one minute you're going to be happy, and you're going to be sad, maybe a little happy and sadder, maybe real happy. You see what I'm saying? Whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, it shouldn't make no difference if you're a believer. Because true joy comes from the Father through the Holy Spirit. When we selfishly attempt to tackle life on our own, we're certainly going to lose our joy. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to do it by yourself? How'd that work for you? When you ask the Lord for help and you say, Lord God, help me guide my path, will you just make it, Lord, to where that I can at least know where to place my next foot? A lot of times, that's what God will do. He will only give you enough if you have faith. Faith plays big into joy. If you have faith and you truly believe that God is who He says He is and that He has all the power at His disposal, if He has that, and He has all of the joy that is available for you, who are you going to really ask for help from? Man, sometimes we're just flat stubborn, aren't we? Let's face it, we're just flat stubborn. We want our own way and we want to do it ourselves. And we will not go to the Lord. We do it with our own brothers and sisters in Christ. I've experienced that here. People need help and they go, and I'm talking about myself here. I say, oh, I can do it. When I got ready to move, people volunteered to help and I go, oh, yeah, okay, I can do it. The ones that received the true joy are the ones that just showed up at my house with the trailer. They did. I told them, no, don't worry about it. We got it. They showed up. Guess what? They got joy. Now, they might have got tired too, but they received joy. I have personally turned down the opportunity for someone else to get joy because of my what? Stubbornness. Boy, does that get in the way. Ourself. We get in the way of someone else receiving joy. Staying focused is the secret of keeping your joy. I know. That's what I'm talking about. Road was doing this. Even when we think to do it, even when we do think about it, what do? We always say, I got it. Dana's working on his house. So people will say, well, if you need a hand, oh, I got it. He did that at first. I remember him saying that. If you ask him now, hey, you need a hand, he'll say, can you be there tomorrow? I'm going to be working in it. Am I right, Dana? And folks have just shown up and just started helping him, working on his house, trying to help him. So what did they receive out of it? Are they going to get a new house? They got joy. Woo! Which is what? It is worth its weight in gold, y'all. Joy is everything. Someone look up Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And read it. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Huh? Sure. You got to read it though with your voice up where we can hear. So what is it said that we need to throw off? Everything that hinders, anything that slows you down, you're supposed to throw it off. So what's hindering you? And what's keeping you from true joy? What do you need to throw off? What do you need to get rid of that you've been dragging around for years? Probably made some of us all of our life a special or a specific attitude. What do you need to throw off to experience true joy? Staying focused. Who should we focus our eyes on then? Jesus. He does what? He initiates and He perfects our faith. What does that mean? He starts it and He completes it. That's exactly right. He starts it and He completes our faith if we are on Him. We have to stay focused on Christ. And stay focused is the secret for keeping our joy. When things out here are happening, I mean, y'all, it's so easy to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted with your job. Things are not going right. It's easy to get distracted when things are not going right in your marriage, maybe, or at home. Things just start falling off. Maybe you've got a dog at your house that you're having to deal with. A puppy. You buy a brand new house and he just chews the windowsill. And you're already starting to have to repair this new house you just moved into. Woo! Anybody want a dog? You have to stay focused on Christ. Without focus, you'll probably fall prey to your enemy, the devil, because, believe me, he is sitting there waiting. Whew. They said he is like a lion, just sitting there waiting to pounce on his prey. Just waiting for you to do what? To stumble. To become unfocused for just a little bit so he can and say, I just stole joy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, his chief aim, his whole purpose is to kill, to steal, and destroy. It says in John 10:10. And we can be accomplished very easily simply by doing these things. When he takes your joy, he paralyzes your faith, your influence, and your impact on the world for Christ. Man, that is a lot, y'all. Think about it. When you take your eyes off of the Lord and start having what I call a pity party for yourself, what have I just done? I have allowed Satan, who is the big joy stealer, loves to do it. He loves for you to be unjoyful, unconnected to the Lord. That's his whole purpose. If you're already Christ, then all he can try to do in your life is to steal your joy. He can't eat you. He can't hurt you. But he can do something that's just as bad, and that's steal your joy. He wants to destroy it. You are thrown into what seems to be a never-ending cycle of ups and downs and frustrating in-betweens where, despite having every reason in the world to be happy, you still lack the only thing that can fill the void of your soul, and that's joy. Someone read John 10, 9 through 11. Read it. Why did Jesus come to the earth? So his purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life, salvation. That's what Jesus came for. And he told you exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to steal. He wants to take your joy. Do you think you can ever find joy outside of living with a right relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you think you can ever find real joy outside of a living or living in a right relationship with Jesus Christ? Not real joy. That's not joy. People that do good outside of Christ, what does that say? Do you think that they are receiving the joy from God? No. That they think that they have. Unless you are joined with Christ. He says, I am the gate. I'm the one. You cannot get there unless you go through me. There is no other way to get it except through me. Satan does everything and tells you all these lies to get you to go another way. But there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. You can never find true joy outside of Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. Never. Those who use the same principles that you're talking about, helping and doing for others, they find happiness when they do that. Happiness is something that what? It comes and goes. And it's something that sometimes you can create it, can't you? Sometimes other people create it for you. Yeah, it's an earthly form. But happiness is an what? An emotion. It is an emotion that you can experience. Those who use the principles of Christ without knowing Him as their Lord and Savior receive happiness when they help others. We, when we help others, though, receive joy, complete joy. Any questions about joy, about happiness? Are we clear? There is happiness and joy. Mm-mm. They're not like this. They're two different things, aren't they? When things are going bad, when things are going good, you can be happy. Everything's great. Got all the money you need. Everything's going good. Kids are behaving in school. Dog's behaving. You can be happy. Or you can be joyful all the time. If you remember that they're not the same thing and where true joy comes from. Anything else? Did y'all hear that? I'm going to make sure that's recorded for the... if Lori Cox calls you and asks you to come to a swimming pool party, beware. Yeah. But you will receive a lot of joy from it. You may not get to go swimming that day, but you will receive joy because what? You helped somebody else. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we just thank you for the happy time that we have, the laughter where we can enjoy talking about the Scripture, talking about your Word, and the joy that you give each and every one of us, Father, that are in you, that we know you and that we love you, and how you love us. I just thank you for the principles of the Bible, Lord, that just teach us these things, Father. Without your word, where would we be? Thank you again. I just pray a protective hedge around everyone as they go home, Father, that you help them get there safely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.